Welcome, everyone. Here we are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2, and 3. And the two things must be harmonized together. There's some important details when it comes to this second coming here that will sit there and harmonize really good with what we just learned in 1 Thessalonians. And again, these books that explain the second coming so thoroughly, they use this by chopping it, literal sentences chopped up in order to make their rapture lie. So, and there's nothing new here. They haven't come up with some new lie. This is the same old stuff they've always used. And really, all we got to do is read it like this for what it says. And it turns the rapture lie right on top of its head by itself. No arguing about it. And so if someone's arguing, they're certainly not studying. Okay? This is a quote by the church people. I don't care if it's in the Bible or not. I'm going to believe it. Yeah, you're going to believe the satanic theologian Darby. Okay? From the Leap Castle, Scotland. All tied into occultists through the moon and back. And you're going to believe him. Okay. And you probably believe Darwin, right? And you believe NASA too, don't you? They wouldn't lie. Why would they lie? That's right. The doctor never lies, does he? I'll tell you what his degree is in. And I kind of coined this phrase. I kind of like it. It's a doctor of dumbassology. Okay, so there's that. And here we are in the second epistle, and this is very important here. We're going to once again have the heading as these letters are coming to him. And remember, Thessalonica is a port, so a lot of these letters can come by sea. Okay, and so he's answering back to them about the second coming again. Okay, so with that being said, here we are, chapter 1 in 2 Thessalonians. It starts with a new paragraph mark and then a big, the second epistle, and little smaller letters of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians here. Okay, so here's that. All right, and we have the typical heading, and we can't just blow through those either, because that's just full of knowledge about our salvation here. And the charity, which is the agape love for each other. All the saints. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, see? And this is the same as the last epistle. In many of his epistles, there's the Father, Son. And in 2, we get the Holy Ghost here. Listen, it says, grace unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have the 3 in 1. Okay, in 3, it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. Okay? All right, so there's that. Similar to the other letter to them. In 4, it says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So you understand that if you are over the target, if you're really worshiping Christ, the biblical Christ, that you're going to have your share of persecutions and tribulations, and that's part of your a growth process, and leaning on the Lord harder and gaining more of the Holy Ghost. All of that is your growth process and my growth process. And we endure that as we look for the coming of the Lord. And it is very close today. And we're going to read about that here. Okay, so what about this agape love, this love for each other within the Spirit of God? It says, which is a manifest token, which is a sign here, folks. Token and a sign. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So why do the saints suffer? Why do we get persecuted? Are we not being made gold for the Lord? Are we not being tried in the adversity of the world to make a rare jewel for the Lord? Is that not where we're headed? In 6, it says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Okay, now, everybody, again, we have the great defender here in all this, and that's going to be poured out. God's Spirit is going to win this war with Lucifer. No doubt about it. There's no way out of it. Satan is a loser here. And look at this hedge that's being put around the saints back then and to this day. In 7 it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Okay, so now how do we have fake Christian churches that say there's no hell? All right, you just can't go by the Bible if you're going to say something stupid like that. That is very stupid, and it's from one end of the Bible to the other. But here comes the theologian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and there's no hell, and really there's no heaven because you're just sleeping. All right, that's just stupid, okay? And it's ignorant, and you are going to be given strong delusion for rejecting truth, okay? Because you're saying that. Hey, are you saying that out there to somebody? You're not studying then, are you? No, you ain't studying, because you'd know what was just said here. Notice the importance of the second coming here in 7. It's no accident to have that in verse 7. The Lord Jesus is being revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Look at this flaming fire. That's the Holy Ghost. And he's taking vengeance on our enemies out here. The people that are causing trouble for you out there, saint, are going to get theirs. That's for sure. And notice that they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from... That's hell, folks. All right. That really does not deserve a comment, but it has to be given here because you got whole so-called temple churches out here that say there's no hell, okay? And that's what people want. They want to think that it's some wide gate that everyone's going to enter into, and nothing can be further from the truth. You can say that, but you can't study and say that, all right? All right, but more on this important subject here in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians here. Listen, in 12, when he, that's Jesus Christ, shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Notice the term in that day. And notice the glorying that he does in his saints. That's all of us that obey his commandments. We're doing what? We're busy reading his word, his all-powerful word. and we're obeying God Almighty, and we're turning our back against the filth of the world government. Yes, indeed. Like trafficking kids, all these churches are trafficking families and kids, and they're doing that for the UN. They just are. And people make excuses for it and act like they're helping people. They're not helping anybody, okay? All right. Okay, because those people had homes that they were thrown out of, and this here is the big hub for human slavery, traffic. In 11 it says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with prayer. Okay, in 11 it says, I chopped that up, it's with power. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Again, what did we say? The early apostles didn't just have word, it was given with power, and that power is here today. In fact, there's going to be outpourings of the Holy Ghost. They're going to be extremely poured out to all the saints here as this progresses, this war between good and evil, between dark and light, between the goats and the sheep, okay, between the wheat and the chaff. And we want to allow the truth in and throw out the lies. Okay, in 12 it says, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a mouthful, because we're going to be part of that New Jerusalem Bride of Christ. Okay, we just are. And that's what we are going to. And we want the right to enter in at the gates of that holy temple built without hands. Not this fake building that's going in over there in Jerusalem now. All right, and now we're going to get into the prophecies, and this is the importance of the second coming here and how that's going to occur. Take this book again and harmonize it with 1 Thessalonians. What an insight we get here. Listen to this. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. We had plenty of cult Christian groups throughout the last 100 years that said the day of the Lord's here, and they went on and on, and the rapture could happen at any time, everything's ready, and this just nothing could be further from the truth. We had fake Christian churches predict the day of the Lord, which is an abomination. It's blasphemy to predict the day and hour of the Lord. All right, so here what he's telling you, there are certain things that must be fulfilled. Now, the Bible is written with this expectancy in the scriptures, and we're to discern that. We're just to discern what time we're in, okay, and how close is that second coming. However, so many of these scriptures through the Holy Ghost are written with that spirit of expectancy and watchfulness, okay? So that can be mistaken by beginners to be like it's tomorrow. And there's been all these terrible preachers, these rapture lie preachers, that just went on and on and on with their stupidity, and they were all occultists, okay? They were closet occultists. They just were. lording and trying to spoil the church. Listen to what he says here in 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay? That's the Antichrist. He must come first. Okay? That's just the way the Bible is. From A to Z, it harmonizes with Jaser. It harmonizes with Enoch. It's just the way it is. You have to see this man of perdition. Let's read this again, because this is the way it is. There is no other gathering to Christ. None. And there's nothing in this book that you can chop up and say that that's the rapture in here. But that's what they do. Okay? But listen to what he's teaching. Let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And that falling away is the falling away from the truth of Christ and the doctrine of God that we've all been given as a gift from God Almighty. And we're going to watch the History Channel and listen to our Reverend, see? And he don't know what he's doing. And if he does know, he knows how to deceive people. That's what he knows, Reverend. In 4, okay, about this Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that He, as God, sitteth in the temple, capital T, of God, showing himself that he is God. And that you got to go right back to the book of Daniel and to see all the details on this abomination that maketh desolate and how it progresses. But we must see the Antichrist first. He's going to make his peace agreement. We are in the ram and the he-goat prophecy. All right, now what's he say next? As he just went through this and how there's going to be the falling away from the truth of God and the man of sin, the Antichrist, being revealed and how he calls himself God and sits himself up over there in Jerusalem and calls himself God. In 5 it says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So we got to be talking about these things. You see, that's what you've run into over the years. Oh, I don't want to talk about prophecy. I'm a Christian, but I don't want to talk about prophecy. That scares me. Oh, now, I know it's true, but I don't want to read it. Don't want to discuss it. You see, if you're discussing these things, if this is a daily discussion, it's drumming it into you out there, saint, isn't it? So we go on with it, and we talk about these things. We discuss them. We read them. And then we read them again and discuss them again. And it's a joy. It's not like something that we got to run and hide from, right? That's what churchology will do for you. It'll beat the truth right out of you. And if it does that, you're in deep dog shit. In 6 it says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And what withholds it? Jesus Christ is the one withholding it. Because there's a time and a place that this man of sin is going to be revealed, and he can't do anything unless God allows it there in verse 6. Okay, now what Hal Lindsey and the gang of cutthroats do is they get in here and say, well, the Holy Ghost can't exist down here on earth without it being in you out there, i.e. in you. I can hear Hal Lindsey like it was yesterday. So when you're called up hither, when you're raptured, there's no more Holy Ghost on earth. So now nothing's holding back the Antichrist. Is that a bunch of palaver or what? You think that we control the Holy Ghost? Get out of here, you witch. You and I do not control the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has to control us. That's just a rule of thumb. But that's what they say. That's proof right there in 6 that the rapture's real. Okay? That is just ridiculous. You will still hear that on the pulpit, that the Holy Ghost is only inside of me and you. There's one lie. It's wherever God sends it. It's in all life. It's in the whole world. And he don't need me and you to hold back the Antichrist by controlling the Holy Ghost. Okay? Okay. It doesn't say God's Spirit is going to be rolled up out of the world. Oh, no, 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 no. God's Spirit, as things get closer to the day of the Lord, is going to be poured out more and more. Look at your book of Joel on the outpourings, where the daughters, the old men are going to have dreams, and his daughters and sons are going to prophesy, and there's going to be these outpourings on the saints, not withdrawn. And then after our great victory, there's going to be more outpourings on the head of the saints here as a gift from God. And God controls his Spirit, okay? We don't control God's Spirit. His Spirit is in us, and it controls us. All right, now here's that spirit of the Antichrist that John talked about in his epistles. In 7, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Okay, so the fact is that Jesus Christ is the one that stops the progression of evil. But yet it was already, the conspiracy to do it was right here during Paul's time. We had the Caesars, we had the Antiochus bloodlines, the Ptolemy bloodlines. We go back to Alexander the Great. We go back before that. We go through the layers of the 12 layers of the wicked eagle in 2nd Esdras, and that harmonizes with the 4 big layers of world government. And that's going on, and it'll go on. It'll go on. It'll keep going on until God himself puts a stop to it there. All right, and he will do that. He has that handled. All right. Okay, so here the Lord allows things to progress through the devil. In 8 it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." All right. Now you understand that that's going back to the day of the Lord. And so you see, the saints are all right here. They're all right here. When the day of the Lord comes, when God comes and destroys the wicked with the spirit of his mouth at the brightness of his coming, that's the second coming of Christ. That's the great gathering, the 2 sickles. During the vials of the tribulation. Okay. Okay. So here, the wicked one's been revealed. And let's get a description of him in 9, another ungodly number. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan," capital S, "with all power and signs and lying wonders." And that's what you're getting today. The great deception. Listen to this. And 10, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Now get this one, "because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Okay? Now that's what I mean. you can't have this rejection of studying the scriptures of truth. If that irks you wrong, if you're upset over that, if we talk about the second coming and, oh, no, not that, or, oh, no, not the tribulation, oh, no, not the battle of Armageddon. See, that's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of the devil. That's the spirit of the Antichrist that's taught you to fear our victory. When do we have our victory over the devil? It's at the battle of Armageddon. That's our victory. Why would you be scared of that? But here, you've rejected all that. You've rejected the truth. You believe your reverend, your pastor. You believe the TV set. You believe the History Channel. Yeah, you don't. Oh, they wouldn't lie. In 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they in 12 all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There you go. There's the people of the world. There's the people believing their priest, their pastor, their reverend, or some other ufologist, some witch, whatever. And now they're going to believe those lies. Oh, my. Yes, sir. And when it comes to brainwashing, when they get to the point that no matter how much evidence to the contrary of their view you give them, it won't matter whether you pile up 100 pounds of it or 200 or 300 pounds of pages of it all. They just get more stubborn and stupid. Hands over the ears, hands over the eyes, hand in your face. I don't want to hear it. And they mean what they say. And they are going to be victim to the strong delusion that they deserve. 12, it says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So they love their lies. And if you love lies, you're under the spell of witchcraft, folks. How do you like that? That's the truth. In 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. So there your spirit's being prepared, and belief of the truth. And that means all truth. And if you believe all truth, it's going to lead you right to this book, and you're going to understand this book, and it's going to give you pleasure. It's going to give you power, real power. Okay? Not the fake, phony witchcraft power that the world wants to put out. It's very important that you get in your Bible, because without that, we're all in trouble, right? Well, not you out there studying. I know you're studying, and we're studying here at the table, but we're talking about the people that refuse. They just refuse. They don't care if it's an Antichrist Bible that the devil put out and changed all the words. That doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter how much evidence of that you show them. They are obstinate, stiff-necked, stubborn, and stupid. 14, it says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So that's by hearing or in reading. 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. and work. Word and work. 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word. Word and work. Notice the power of the word there, folks. All right, and on into 3. We take this little epistle out, this hard-hitting epistle, this full of knowledge and truth epistle. Oh, boy, what a beautiful thing it is. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Once again, we had the enemies out here, not just the Ptolemy Philo school of philosophy, but many other pillars of evil that have been the enemy of the gospel and enemies of the saints, and they are going to get struck down. Okay, and here he's asking for prayer, which is a beautiful thing. We're to pray always, and always pray for the saints. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Once again, there's another gift for us here in the last days. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Again, there's the importance of the second coming. You see, back in the 70s, you talked about that, and oh my, that's just, nobody understands that stuff, and blah, 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 blah. And it got worse in the 80s, as the Antichrist Bibles kept going, and people started going to their reverend. You know, there's no saint in the Bible called a reverend, is there? No. That came out of the occult also. Isn't that something? How they take the words of Madame Blavatsky and put them in their Antichrist Bible versions. When I say their Antichrist Bible versions, that's exactly what I mean. There's so much proof of that here on these podcasts. But hey, I can go over it again. There's plenty of proof that they were put out by the devil. The patient waiting for Christ in 5. In 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name, capital N, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye received of us. And there they are, waltzing in. There's the Gnostic. There's the person from the Egyptian Philo school of philosophy and the other libraries of satanic knowledge. And there they are, waltzing in. And they believe that they can become any religion, that they can, since they're so much smarter than you, they can pretend to be any religion that they're told to by their masters, to go on and control the masses. And here they are walking right in here and trying to destroy in the number 6. In 7 it says, For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. And that's another thing. These reverends out here, they don't exactly have calluses on their hands, do they? Hey, they're motivated. They want all the work that you can do, right? They ain't pulling splinters out of their fingers. No. No, they can't work. No. They got to be chargeable to you. And that goes from everything from the low level ones begging for your money all the way to the big mega rich churches. And most of them are mega rich. Even if you dig the little ones, they belong to the one that's bigger than that. They're worldwide. And they're funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. And they have plenty of money. But they'll have you making baking cookies and selling them and giving the money to you. And, oh, this is going to help somebody. And, oh, right. They've turned it into lasciviousness. And it goes all the way to the mega millionaire blasphemers. All right. And that's just the way it is. And here Paul's telling you, he was tent maker, just so that he would not be accused and that he would set a good example for us. Work. Don't be lazy. And first off, work at the word, and that's number one. But the other part is just the carnal work and not being a lazy sloth. 9, it says, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Okay? Now, he just verified what I said. Or I verified what he said. 10, it says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. And that means you're gossipy, troublemaker. 12, it says, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. 14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Okay, so that's the shunning. 15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And that's somebody that's not Gnostic, though. I mean, the Gnostic ain't in there to do any good. The Gnostic's in there to destroy Christianity. And that was done because they couldn't martyr their way out of this, because they killed people over this doctrine. I keep saying that. We're not talking about the Philo school of philosophy in Egypt and saying, oh, well, they just said, go your way and we'll go our way. No, they murdered people that had this Bible. Okay, we're not talking about them. We're talking about somebody that's really a believer, but they've went astray, and that is different. It says in 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. 17, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right, and that is, again, Holy Ghost talk. With a new paragraph, it says, the second epistle to the Thessalonians was written from Athens. So there he is in Greece. Okay, so now we've put these two together, all right? And there should be no doubt that if you've followed along here, that this is not the rapture, okay? There's nothing here saying no saint will not go, he won't go through tribulation because he's going to be pulled out. Okay, that just does not exist here. And this thing about saying the Holy Ghost ain't going to be down here because it's only in people. The whole world was created through God's Spirit. Okay? He hung the earth with His Spirit. His Word created the world. His Word is Spirit. So to sit there and say that God needs us, and if He takes His saints home ahead of time, before the tribulation, that there'll be no more Holy Ghost down here. And that's a lie. How do you think the two witnesses are performing the miracles there in the second half of the week of years, causing fire to come down from heaven and plaguing people that try to harm them and prophesying against the world? How is that occurring? It's occurring through God's Spirit. They don't do it personally. It's the Holy Ghost doing these things. And the tribulation is going to be outpourings of the Holy Ghost, not withdrawing the Holy Ghost. No. You see, folks, they constantly put the Bible on its head. And that's a Hal Lindsey playbook there. It was invented in his, I guess he's the first one to say that, in the late great Planet Earth, which he didn't write, by the way. His ghostwriter, she wrote it for him. He finally admitted that, and he's been pushed to the side. He's just the cat that ate the canary. He used this over and over and over. It was just terrible, and he's going to pay for that someday. All right, so folks, listen, it's been a joy here, and we're headed back to the Book of Deuteronomy here, folks. So it's going to be a pleasure, and we're going to go there, get Deuteronomy in. Thank you for tuning in here, and I hope you enjoyed. Bye-bye.